Folks, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott with us back again. Always wonderful updates. We got a lot to share with you today. You can go to andweknow.com/gold anytime below this video. Click on that and you'll be able to talk to Dr. Kirk Elliott or anyone on his team. And they will help you with your precious metals, any questions that you have and more. It's been wonderful. And what an amazing past week that we've had. You know, the debate was probably the big one. We always have something big that happens every single week. And the amount of lies of the 3-1 against Trump was absolutely overwhelming at times. And we were just talking about how amazing it was that somehow Kamala was able to put a sentence together and make sense. And we're like, oh, remember she had that nice little earpiece on her earring there. And she was able to spout out as many lies as she wants. She's with, you know, basically, I always say she's with the father of lies, Satan, who's been a liar from the very beginning.
Well, I mean, everything from abortion to the economy and not actually answering the questions, right? I couldn't finish the debate, LT. I got sick to my stomach. I had to turn it off about 3/4 through because I was thinking Trump doesn't stand a chance, but yet he did a really good job given the fact that very first question. You know, you've been the vice president, and how can you defend basically the economy that we have right now where we have inflation and higher interest rates, whatever the question was, right? And she didn't answer it. She just said, well, this is my plan for the future. It's like, no, answer the question, right? And then this David Muir guy from 60 Minutes, it's like, I think he had like 55 fact checks of Trump's statements and zero for her. Zero. It's like, this is just a travesty. It's like, wait a second, let Trump talk. And there was the one where about the Venezuelans in Springfield, Ohio, or whatever it was, where there was the police reports of they were eating people's pets, right? Because they were starving and they were hungry.
Right.
And he said, I called the city manager and he said that didn't happen. Trump said, well, there's reports that it happened. Of course, that guy's going to say that. He's trying to cover his butt.
Right.
And the guy said, well, I called, so stop talking about it. It's like, well, geez, this is a debate. Let Trump talk. But here's where I'm not discouraged by this debate, because I think it was so egregious and so in your face, whether it was talking about the economy, talking about the social climate, talking about abortion, talking about Russia and Ukraine, talking about Afghanistan, talking about all these places, right? The border.
Right.
I think people probably saw, this doesn't seem to be fair. But even if they didn't see that, the reality is wherever Trump goes, there's thousands, if not tens of thousands of people that show up. I don't think that this election is close. I think Trump is really far ahead, but the media talking points have to show that this is a fight to the finish, right? They don't, the left, Kamala's not getting any people that show up at her rallies.
Right.
Now, they're the ones that she might pay for to show up there, but Trump has real organic following that's massive.
That's right.
And I mean, we still have to deal with the rigged election, right? But the point is, I don't think it's even close at this point, if the election were fair.
Yeah, it's almost reminds me, you know, she's out there doing rallies and they're trying to bust people in and they're paying for folks to show up, obviously, to try to make her look like she's important. But you remember Biden back, was it 4 years ago? He lived in a basement and they just basically went all the way through to the 2020 election, right? And somehow he got 81 million votes. So, of course, we know how that all played out. And I was really proud to see that President Trump still wouldn't concede in front of them at that debate and trying to get him to say that the election was actually well done, which it wasn't. And he, again, held his ground, and I appreciate that about him and that type of leadership.
Yeah.
Speaking of leadership in other areas, it seems like there's a guy that a lot of folks follow, Warren Buffett, again, in the headlines, trimming the Bank of America stake. Analysts speculate why. What's going on here?
So this isn't a rehashed story, because we've talked about Warren Buffett selling Bank of America shares before.
Yep.
This is a continuation of the story, right? So, like, in the last 9 trading days, he sold Bank of America each single day. And last week, he sold like $800 million. The week before, he sold $1 billion. That's why all the And We Know listeners have heard this story. But this isn't an old story. This is new. He's continuing to sell, right? Oh, wow. So just on, let's see, it was the day of the debate, he sold another $229 million worth of Bank of America shares, which now he's very close to owning less than 10% of all of Bank of America. He used to be their largest shareholder, many times that, but he sold $7 billion plus of Bank of America. Mm. Here's what's interesting about this 10% threshold. Once you reach 10%, they don't have to report the selling of his shares anymore. So he could possibly dump all of it and nobody would know, because it doesn't need to be reported once he's under 10%. But the point that I want to bring up here is, why does he keep selling it?
Right.
Right. If, okay. So we don't have to like his politics. We know that Warren Buffett's going to do what's ever best for Warren Buffett, right? Like most billionaires do.
Right.
We know that he's part of World Economic Forum. We know that his phony, well, I've lived in this small house in Omaha since my very fragile beginning, right? And I don't live above my means. Well, what about the seven or eight other houses that you have and all these private jets and everything else, right? So don't believe the story that he's like this gentle, frail, little old man. He's a very astute investor, right? Who's out for himself. And, and so when you look, though, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but he loves to buy things that are of value, meaning they're a very cheap price. So this to me is a little bit showing his narcissism and his ego of he's amassing this huge, massive cash position, just sitting on mountains of cash, because he thinks what? He thinks that the economy is going to crash, stock market's going to crash. There's going to be all these companies that he can buy for pennies on the dollar. He's going to swoop in like a knight on a shiny white horse coming in to save the day. And this is his shtick. This is what he does. And people think, oh, he's amazing for the economy. He's amazing for these failing businesses. And he injects capital and raises them to success again. It's like, no, he actually lets these companies fail. All these people lose their money and he comes in and buys everything at a huge discount. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a way to invest,
right?
But I would rather invest into strength rather than invest into somebody's weakness where they get hurt, right? But what he's saying is, and you have to realize this guy's World Economic Forum, he's in the know, and it seems like every single time that he sells off Bank of America shares, the very next day the markets tumble.
Mm.
It's like he just knows things, right? Like, look at that. This was that chart that you have up there was the day after he sold 229 million shares of Bank of America. The stock market lost $700 billion of equity.
Mm.
I mean, the S&P 500 did. I mean, in one day. I mean, so how does he know these things the day before? How does he know these things the week before, right? So anyways, the point I'm making here is there's people that are in the know that I think they want to absolutely make the economy crash, right? So I was talking to Laura Logan about this because she knows David Moore, right? She was on 60 Minutes too at one time. Yeah. And she said, you know, there's a difference between knowing something and wanting something to actually happen, right? And so these people, these globalists, these bankers, they want the system to fail. Mm. And it's like, why would Bank of America, one of the most evil woke companies on the planet, right, that gave $100 million to all these different woke agenda, you know, initiatives, why does it matter if they fail, if the bank fails? The answer is no. It doesn't matter because they're the people that are also in charge of central bank digital currency, right? They win. So sometimes you have to kill something that you own to actually get something that's really big. See, they want to kill paper money, kill central banking as we know it, to usher in central bank digital currency where they have complete control of people, right? So we have to understand this, LT, that that the people that own the banks now are the same people that are going to control the new system as well.
Mm.
And this is where we start to look at this. Every single one of these messages that we hear, every single debate that we see, every single thing that we're seeing politically, economically, I believe it's all like an intelligence op, mm-hmm. right? And they're doing what they planned to do so they could usher in something different.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you brought up something else that we you wanted to highlight here. I believe it's, let me get to that real quick. That would be this here, the Kibasi letter. Is the American dream dead?
Yeah.
And down here it says, regarding the health of the U.S. consumer, we are talking about two Americas. High-income consumers are thriving while the low-income class have been crushed. And so you've got the retail names Dollar General, Lululemon, Abercrombie & Fitch, and Ulta Beauty receiving a mixed reaction this week after making cautious comments. So they're saying the personal savings rates dropped 2.9% last month, a record low. The low-income consumer is really suffering.
So not only is just the low-income, like Big Lots filed for bankruptcy. Mm. What's it? Macy's is basically closing most of its stores, right? And 10, 15 years ago, if you just said, ooh, I'm going shopping at Macy's, and people say, ooh, that's like upper crust. You're rich, right? Going to Macy's. Not anymore. They've turned into something that's not that. It's like everything's always on sale, but they're going out of business.
Right.
UBS, one of the big massive financial firms in the world, right? They're shutting down I think 25 of their branches at the beginning of 2025. I mean, this sector that of the economy that we're living in is this classic divide between the haves and the have-nots, right? Where and people who are living at the margin in an era of high inflation, lowering wages, unemployment's rising, right? Just earlier this week on Wednesday, the consumer price index numbers came out and inflation's going up again. Now there's inflationary fears. It's like, wait a second. Last week they said they had killed inflation and that they're really winning. So they're going to be able to have a 50 basis point rate cut in September, you know, on the 17th, I think it is.
Right.
Well, now they're saying, well, maybe we should only do 25, you know, quarter of a point, because inflation is still rearing its ugly head. And when you have inflation and lowering wages, it's the people at the margin that lose the most, right? Because they don't have excess.
Right.
Well, so this article talks about the American dream. 50% of America LT doesn't believe it's even achievable anymore. That's 50%. These are Americans, right? These aren't people wanting to come into America. These are people in America, and they just don't think it's achievable anymore. I mean, that's a sad state of affairs. And then you've got Kamala at the debate, you know, bragging about how good of a job they did and how great Bidenomics was and how they inherited something terrible. And unemployment was way worse than Trump left than it is now. Lie, right? I mean, but there was no fact checking. But the reality is these stores, these low end, like lower income, I hate to classify them that way, but they're not Neiman Marcus, right? There's like Big Lots is not Neiman Marcus. It's kind of the lower end stores. They're going out of business because people living at the margin have no money. They're not spending.
Right,
This is the bread and butter of the U.S. economy, is the middle class is being wiped out, and now you've got the very rich and you've got the very poor, and taxes are going up and inflation is persisting. And here's the thing. It's, I don't know if it's a prayer request, but God, Trump needs to win, right? I mean, because if these Marxists get their way, America's toast. I mean, it really is. But God's got bigger plans for America, right? He's got bigger plans for all of us. But I do think it's going to get nasty and ugly before people actually, this is just my theory, right? It doesn't mean that I'm right. But I think when people are like laying in the gutter, you know, they know that if they don't reach out to God for help, they're going to die that night. I think America is going to hit a very, very low point. And then God's going to come to the rescue, because he always does.
Yep.
Right. And he doesn't necessarily care about her comfort level. He cares about her eternity. Right. Right. So, right. So, and he didn't necessarily even say it was going to be easy to follow him, that it would be beneficial, right? The road is narrow. It's not this big wide road. So we've got these problems in America, these economic problems. And I think it's all manifested in the data that's coming out that you can't manipulate, that you can't hide behind, where America doesn't have any excess anymore. Like the personal savings rate, right? That number just came out. It's as low as it's ever been, which means people don't have savings anymore.
Mm.
Right. And when people don't, so they're digging into their savings just to survive, just to live. And when they don't have savings and a rainy day comes up, well, then what? Well, then they have to dig into their assets and maybe sell part of their retirement plans, or they have to start, you know, just not spending as much.
Right.
Or they have to go to the government for help and say, we need help. We need some kind of a handout. We need this. We need food stamps. We need this. We need that. And this is exactly where the globalist, left, communist, Marxist agenda wants everybody.
Right.
At a point where they look to the government for their provision and their protection rather than to God. And whenever any type of government or individual tries to replace God, that's not going to end in a very good outcome.
That's right. It kind of reminds me when we heard from Charles Schwab years ago. He says, you're going to own nothing and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they're trying to drive the entire earth into that direction in so many different ways. And it's evil. And it kind of reminds me when I was praying yesterday, just releasing the podcast at the end, it just came to mind that, you know, when I think about a lot of the stuff that we're going through, I think about Moses and his time where he's asking Pharaoh, let my people go. And the people, you know, the more that the enemy got ticked off, Pharaoh and the leadership, the more they took away from the folks to make their life miserable because he couldn't stand them. And I feel like that's the same thing we're going through. And I just hope, you know, beyond hope that we're learning a lesson, we're growing from it, and we're starting to realize that this the fiat currency that a lot of us have been, you know, holding on to, we've been learning from you quite a bit about the importance of having precious metals at a time like this. Even the story that you told, if I remember right, maybe you could share it with us again, the audience, about even somebody that just has very little and they, you know, say, I don't know if I can do anything with precious metals. Do you have that story with you? I remember that really good one that you told.
Well, yeah, because it's one of the most impactful stories that has defined who we are as a company, right? So many of my mentors have said, Kirk, you've got two PhDs. You should have like a really high minimum, right? Or else you're going to work yourself to death. It's right. Like, no, that's not who I am. I want to help the least of these. I want to help everybody. And in fact, I charge, you know, my little old widows that have $500 and it's everything that they have, the same price that my billionaire clients would pay, mm-hmm. right? I just don't upcharge for the smaller ones because I want to help everybody, right? So this lady, this was years ago. She's from Kansas. She's a widow. I have a huge heart for widows. It's just, my mom is one, right? And it's like, you just have to come to people's rescue sometimes when they're alone. And Jesus will bring people into their path. That's what I believe. So I was helping this lady and she gave me everything that she had. And then she saved up another $500, took her a while. She invested it again.
Mm.
And then she saved up another $500. She invested it again. And this went on and on and on and on for years. Well, this little lady, I mean, silver is probably up, I don't know, 190, 200% since she started.
No, wow.
And she started with $500. She's probably invested at this point maybe $8,000 or $10,000, and that's more than doubled. So $500 seed that was planted is now probably worth $20,000 or $30,000. And she looks at that. She says, I'm rich. Right. Look at what's happened. And sometimes it just brings me to tears when she's not the only one. I have so many countless stories of people like that who, where all they have to do is start. start with what they have, right? Mm-hmm. And just keep consistent, keep going, moving forward. And before you know it, you're going to have something that you never thought possible. Like, you know, this lady, I can't remember what silver was when she started. It was maybe like $15, $16 an ounce because it was a while back. But by the end of this year, economists are thinking silver might be 50 to 75 LT.
Right.
We're 4 months away from the end of the year and we're at 30, a little less than 30. That's like over 60% growth between now and just the end of the year. But imagine some of these people started investing when silver was 15, 17, 20 bucks and it gets up that much and they've incrementally just added and added and added and added.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of the firms out there that say, oh, you have to have $50,000 minimum or we won't even talk to you because we're too important. It's like, oh, that just turns my stomach, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. I want to help everybody. It's why we have the team that we do.
Right.
Right. And when I started this firm, it's always been about people. It was always about people. It was people over profit. And you know what? It's always going to be about people. And that's just, I think, one of the things that separates us. And I hope that everybody that calls in, every one of our clients, they see that heart because it's real.
Mm.
It's not just a story. It's not just a slogan. It's how every single person at our company lives and breathes. It's for people because that's what God created us for. I don't care if you're a lawyer or a doctor or a precious metals dealer or a politician or a pastor or anything, we were all built to help other people.
That's right.
Right. And when we help other people, we ourselves are helped. That's just God's math. And that's his universal law of success.
Amen.
Put others first. Right. And so anyways, I don't want to talk too much about that, but that's just who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. And amazing the reminder of the support that we hear from folks on this show that call in. They just talked to me about how they just felt like they were loved. You guys talk about how those that come from him, we know, are such a blessing to talk to. And so it's just been a great relationship we've seen over the now almost a year and a half. And it's been really good. And I just encourage everyone again to go to that link below amweknow.com/gold. You also have a phone number. And when folks call you, what's the process? How does that usually work?
So you just call our phone number, the 720-605-3900, and just say that LT sent you. So whether you fill out the form or call, the end result is the same. You're going to talk to one of my schedulers. They're going to hear your fears, hear your concerns, hear your dreams and what you want, and connect you with one of my amazing consultants that'll drive digging deep right into finding out what you need and what you want and strategizing a way to take advantage of these markets rather than the markets taking advantage of you with precious metals.
Right.
And I mean, that's the process, right? Mm. And here's the thing. It's your money. I take that back. I don't think it's the client's money. I think it's God's money. Mm. And we're all called to be wise stewards with it. Our goal is to help you be a wise steward with it. And you could say, Kurt, go take a long walk off a short pier. I'm not interested in anything that you have to say. And you know what? That's perfectly fine because they are the ones that have to answer to God for every one of their decisions. And my job is to disseminate knowledge and wisdom and everything I have about the markets. And people can either say, yep, let's do it, or nope, I don't want to.
Right.
You know what? I don't even view us as salespeople. It's like we're consultants. We're dream releasers. We want to help people achieve their goals. Mm-hmm. And whatever that looks like, we're here to help. A lot of times, and I get tickled because in our company, you know, messaging thread, we have a prayer request channel where clients have called in and said, we have this prayer request. Would you pray for us? And you know what? My team prays for them.
Oh, wow.
It's just different. It's just a different kind of a company, but it's what we're called to do.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's actually a good note to end on. It's in prayer.
Yeah, that would be right.
So let's go to prayer. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much once again for how you've connected Dr. Kirk Elliott with us through the airwaves, through this amazing system that you have set up for us to use for good. And we just ask that you continue to guide and direct Dr. Kirk Elliott, his team, and in the direction of continuing to support people. People over profit is such a wonderful phrase. We just ask that you would continue to protect them. As we know, the enemy can't stand anyone who goes against him or goes to biblical models like this. And so, again, we just ask for them to be just energized, uplifted, and just realize that you're there with them every second of every day. And we ask all this in the name of our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, brother. Again, amweknow.com/gold. Below this video, folks, just click on that link and you'll be able to reach out to them today. And so we're looking forward to the next few updates. I'm sure something again will happen big next week leading up to the election.
It always does. It's just the world we live in.
All good. So we'll see you again soon.
All right. CLT.